So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Nick Francis, who is CEO and co-founder of HelpScout. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me, Adrian.
You're very welcome. Now, Nick, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and also a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. I co-founded a company called HelpScout. Our goal is to make great customer support achievable for businesses of all sizes. Mm-hmm. And we do that mostly through the products that we make. So we make a tool that's really great for email collaboration, for businesses to provide support to their customers. We also make a knowledge-based tool for people to create self-service content. And then we also make a tool where you can embed that content right on your website. So anything that helps a business help their customers and provide them with a great support experience. That's the kind of products that we try to build. And also we spend a lot of time on content around customer support and education throughout the community and trying to really elevate the position and career path of customer support in general and all the great people that are in this industry.
Excellent. Now, before we jump into the questions, I must say that I've been scheduling a future podcast and I was kind of surprised, but also kind of, you know, happy to see your handsome mien, of course, on a customer video for Know Your Business, because I'm due to speak to Claire Liu in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Claire is absolutely awesome. You're going to really enjoy speaking with her. She's super smart, and we love using their product.
Fantastic. Now, back to kind of what we were supposed to be talking about. We were talking earlier, and this is one of the reasons why we scheduled this, is talking earlier, and you mentioned that you see sort of customer support as a craft, and I really like that word, but it's actually quite an unusual word used in this context. So can you explain to me by what you mean by that?
Sure. It's used very intentionally. As an industry, it feels like we talk a little bit too much about tools and channels, and we get infatuated with the technology and not enough about the skills required to do an excellent job. In the end, support is a people-powered experience.
Yeah.
And so one thing we try to do with our blog and our efforts in the community is to elevate those skills, to elevate the profession itself as kind of a reputable and solid career path. So talking about the profession as a craft, as a set of skills someone can work hard to master and be rewarded for their efforts, we feel like that's the most effective way to build a company that's known for being all about their customers. In the end, it's about the people.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that also that strikes me about the word craft is that there's this almost an intrinsic feel of it's like an art form in many ways. So it's not just all science and all technical stuff, but there's a bit of art to it as well.
100%. It's certainly not an exact science. It's a very qualitative science in terms of knowing how well you're doing at the craft. It's very qualitative, right? So we embrace that and just try to teach people as much of it as possible.
Excellent. But you also can, like said, I mean, this is almost taking it to another level, because when we were talking, you said that you wanted to make support and contact center agents kind of heroes. I mean, and that really resonated with me, because I actually think that the, you know, frontline people, they don't necessarily get, they take a lot of, they are the brunt of much kind of dissatisfaction, and they don't necessarily get the plaudits that they deserve. And so I, you know, you use the word heroes, I kind of think about them trying to make them rock stars, because I think they do an incredible job in large part. But can you tell me kind of what's your thinking about sort of the heroes idea, the heroes description, what's driving that? And actually, more importantly, what's the problem?
So in the business world, there's sort of this negative stigma around the profession of being in customer support. And you covered a bit of it just now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's seen as being sort of an entry level, not very rewarding position. But if you talk to people that have spent their careers in this position, if you talk to people that are passionate about customer support, they are deeply passionate and happy with this work.
Yeah.
They help people, right? So first of all, it's not some downtrodden group of people that just doesn't enjoy their work. It's quite the opposite. If you talk to these people, they're super passionate about it. And most forward-thinking companies these days are not thinking about customer support as some cost to be optimized. They are becoming part of the marketing team, a separate marketing channel in and of the larger marketing team. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the technology and what that's able to do to empower customer support reps, what you'll find is that it elevates them to get into a higher area of the funnel and be valuable at different levels of the experience, maybe even proactive with regard to customer success. So the people in this profession are actually being elevated in many ways, whether it be departmental or just in terms of the technology being adopted to really mission critical marketing tasks. And so that's something that, that people really need to know about. I mean, these are the voice of your company.
Yeah. And as an aside, I mean, I had the privilege, the opportunity and the privilege to visit Zappos, because I was in Vegas in June for a work conference thing. And I had a bit of space before I left, but I was able to organize to go down and see the folks at Zappos. And I tell you what, those people personify kind of heroes. They are legends in their own right.
They're awesome. And the culture there is really wonderful. Everybody loves being there. They love working there. They love helping people and talking to customers. And that's much more representative of what I've seen in the customers that we talk to, as opposed to sort of that negative stigma that exists for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. So when this kind of thing around making the contact center support and contact center agents kind of heroes, I mean, you support this if like campaign that you're undertaking it by... You publish a customer support survey every year, and it's been going, I can't remember how many years, so 3 or 4 years now. But
yeah.
Tell me about the latest kind of like finding. Tell me about the report and the latest kind of findings.
Yeah, so we do multiple surveys just to sort of better understand the industry and measure progress over time and identify areas where we feel like we may be able to be helpful. And the one you're referring to is an interesting survey we've been doing about compensation.
Right.
You know, professionals that are working at a high level in this business shouldn't really be measured on the same scale as, you know, maybe a phone rep for the local cable company. There's a spectrum, just like with any other profession. And we've noticed that it's really tough to get solid data on that as a forward-thinking small business. So what we did with the survey is just try to identify those people, ask them a bit about compensation, and the results help leaders and support professionals just kind of understand the baseline for compensation and how that might be evolving. So if you take our survey results and you compare them to what may be considered sort of the industry benchmarks, then you'll find quite a few differences. And that was the point of the survey. We felt like the industry benchmarks were sort of wrong.
Right.
So we get a little heat for it every once in a while because we're publishing this data in hopes that companies will pay their customer support people better. Mm-hmm. But in the end, we feel like it's a net positive and a really good thing for the industry and for customer centric companies in general.
Excellent. And so some of the differentials that you're kind of finding, I mean, within sort of like roles and industries and stuff, I mean, does that actually tell as much about strategy, approach, business models, economics? I mean, like how people are grappling with service? I mean, does it give us some insight into that in terms of how the differentials in pay?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the data makes it clear to me, at least, that customer support skills are really valuable.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why companies, not only like Help Scout, but companies all over the world that are customer centric are combining support into the marketing team. They become part of the marketing team. And I'm seeing this at all levels.
Right.
Not only is it a solid career path, but it's one that's adding a lot of value inside and throughout businesses. So we'll see how it evolves over time. We still feel like it's pretty early on in the history of the survey, but it's already pointed out some very interesting trends.
And do you think that actually what it's trying to do is kind of bust the myth that support people or contact center agents it's necessarily a low skill and kind of low paid kind of job? Because actually I looked at some of the data and I was thinking, wow, that's pretty decent for some of those roles.
Yeah. No, it can be a very viable career path. If you love to help people and help people kind of make their way with a product or service, then there's really a lot of ways you can advance your career. It doesn't have to be just this entry-level job and then you work your way into other departments. A lot of people may think of it that way. It's one where you can actually advance those skills for many years and work into a leadership position potentially. There's all sorts of ways you can go about it. But as we talked about, it's a craft. It's something that takes many, many hours to become good at.
So I tell you what, Nick, I mean, maybe this is going to put you on the spot kind of now. And, you know, because my next question is that, so you talk about making your agents kind of heroes and things. And the thing I wanted to ask you about was what happens when you make your agents kind of heroes. But I think what might be almost more useful is, do you have a couple, I mean, I know you've probably got some, you know, some people that you've worked with that have probably adopted this type of approach. But do you have a couple of examples about what has happened when organizations have sort of adopted this type of approach and made their agents the heroes of their story, as it were, and kind of sort of what's happened, why they've benefited, all that sort of stuff, you know, to bring some, I guess, color and the art of the possible to the whole kind of notion?
You know, what I've found over and over, and I can mostly speak only from kind of firsthand experience in terms of what's happened at Help Scout.
Right.
But when you elevate anybody in their position or craft, whether it's an engineer, a software engineer, a writer, a content writer, or a customer support person, it's all the same.
Right.
When you elevate them, when you allow them the autonomy and ownership to go the extra mile, mm-hmm. then almost every time you're going to find that they have that they will do outstanding work, far beyond what you maybe thought they were capable of. Most of the time they'll find a way to do an absolutely outstanding job. And so customer support is literally no different.
Yeah.
If you give people the ownership and autonomy to go out and do a great job and be a wonderful voice on behalf of your company, mm-hmm. then they're going to do a great job, right? Give people meaning, purpose, and credit when they're successful, and they're going to start to work just as hard as you do to make the business successful. That's the big overall learning that I've had. Just as a leader,
yeah,
across teams, that's something that seems to be very effective.
Excellent. And so, if somebody say somebody's listening to this and somebody's thinking, you know what, I believe that we have a huge source of benefit and potential kind of competitive advantage that's just sitting in our support function right now, but we're just not really doing much about it. And actually, they like the idea of making people heroes. But they're like going, well, where do we start with that? I mean, because that seems like a big step. You know, it's like a sure. completely different kind of almost a way of operating. I mean, you've been through this because this is how you've set yourself sort of up. But you must have seen other people kind of go through that and you've learned some stuff along the way. I mean, what advice sure. would you give them regarding the first steps that they should take if they want to sort of embrace this idea of making their agents heroes?
I would advise them to talk with their support team.
Okay, thanks, folks. That's it for today.
Yeah, right? I mean, these people talk to customers every day. They have a great sense of what their team could do better to better represent the values of the company, right? So the first thing I would do in their shoes is just go in with humility and ask a bunch of questions about what the company can do better to be more advocates mm-hmm. for their customers, right? What can I as a leader do better? I mean, typically when I'm looking for that sort of feedback, I'm asking the people on the front lines because they have a better understanding of it than I do.
Yeah.
Also, executives, myself included, tend to overestimate the value of technology or the tools.
Yes.
They're like, oh, if I just adopt this tool, then I feel like that's going to make my company more customer-centric. Well,
right.
Not necessarily. I mean, of course you want to provide them with the software that enables them to work efficiently, but the most important thing is that they feel empowered and excited to do a great job.
Yes.
If they aren't happy at work, chances are customers aren't going to be happy with their experience, no matter what tools you might be using. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to just this is a people powered thing. I really bang on that drum a lot, but I also think that, you know, selfishly, you should point them to the Help Scout blog. If people do have questions about building a culture like this, this is the kind of thing we talk about a lot on the Help Scout blog. We have about 100,000 people that hear get content from us every week for free, and you can learn a lot about what it'll take to do a great job there and be a competitive differentiator.
No, absolutely. On what you're talking about there, I mean, it just occurred to me, I have sort of two stories that I want to kind of share. One I think you're going to love, and the second one is about a company that and sort of the results that they achieved when they adopted a similar sort of approach. So I'll start with the second one first, because it's a company which is a compatriot of yours, and I think they've got the best name of the best company in the whole wide world, and they're called Big Ass Fans. You guess what they can guess what they make. Anyway, they make big fans, right? So anyway, one of the things that they did was that they created this sort of support success team. And one of the things that they went out and did was just allowed the people just to go and talk to their customers and figure out what they could do better, what was wrong, what was annoying, what was irritating, what was not as easy. And they took all that feedback and they fed it back into the company. And the company made all those kind of changes. And you know what happened? They grew largely by doing that on a consistent basis. They grew from about £35 million in turnover to about £175 million in turnover over the course of about 6 years, which...
Wow, that is the perfect illustration of exactly what we're talking about, Adrian.
Exactly. And then here's an even better story, which is it's probably my favorite story of the last kind of couple of months, which I'm in danger of repeating kind of a ridiculous number of times, so I apologize to anybody who's heard this before. But a colleague of mine told me this story about a large bank in the UK that was going through a service transformation process. And they, like you talked about leaders and technology, the leaders had brought in this data and analytics team to help to gather all the data, to crunch all the data and identify, you know, the top 10 customer problems, because those are the ones that we're going to go and solve to make the experience better. And so the team came in, they gathered all the data, they went away and they huffed and puffed in a separate office for, you know, a number of weeks to find the answers. And some bright spark, you know, close to that project, went and took about 8 to 10 agents and took them into a room, told their managers to go away, give them some privacy, bought them some teas and coffees and a tray of donuts. And in about half an hour, the agents were able to identify or compile a list of what they thought was the top 10 customer problems. Interestingly enough, the data analytics team came back 6 weeks later only to prove that the agents themselves were 80% correct. So you have to ask yourself, are you willing to spend hundreds of hours and thousands of pounds or dollars or euros or yen or whatever it might be to be at nearly 100% right? Or are you happy to just buy some donuts, take 30 minutes and a bit of candid conversation to be 80% right and then to get started? And I guess it sort of speaks to kind of how you want to deal with things.
Yeah, like we're not selling anything extraordinarily complex, right? Yeah. It's just about going, asking questions, being curious, and being willing to change the way your business functions to be more customer centric. It's really that simple. Just ask for feedback.
I mean, so do you think that actually, when you kind of to make that jump from being an agent to making your agents sort of heroes, do you think the first thing that you have to start with is actually you have to start from a position of respect and trust that they can know something that could help?
100%. And I say the word humility as well, because we as leaders tend to think that we've got a lot of the answers. But the further away I get from the customer, over the last 6 years I've been doing this, I've gotten a little bit further from the customer, although I still talk to them every week. It's easy for your intuition to actually be wrong. Mm. And that's why you always need to validate that intuition with the people that are talking with more customers. They're closer to the customer. You know, we think of customer support people being the voice of the company, but they also hear the voice of your customer.
Sure.
The most clearly. And that's the other side that we don't quite think of as much.
Excellent. So, Nick, I mean, you're doing all this sort of stuff, and it's a campaign around kind of the, you know, making people kind of heroes, and I think I love that sort of idea. But so what's the next big thing, the next big challenge for, you know, for Help Scout? I mean, you're a fast growing kind of business, but what's the thing as a CEO and co-founder, what's the thing on your horizon that you're thinking, that's our next big thing we've got to tackle?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to monitor how customers like to communicate with their with companies over the last few years in particular. Email and phone have always have been primary channels forever and ever and ever, but we're finally seeing somewhat of a shift there, where email is not really contextually the best place to talk with a company about something that, you know, let's just say it's an order and you're trying to find out the tracking number. Contextually, email really isn't the best place for that conversation to happen.
Right.
A lot of times these conversations are starting to happen in more contextually relevant places, maybe in app. So it could be via chat, could be via Facebook Messenger. A lot of e-commerce companies are getting involved there, where some of the messaging between a company and their customers is happening in different channels. And we, you know, there's always been talk of omni-channel and all these different channels where you can be helpful to customers. But really in the last couple of years, we found the venue of these conversations starting to shift a little bit. And so we at Help Scout are thinking a lot about chat and in-app messaging and how we might be able to provide value along those lines that just feels a little bit more contextually relevant. So as soon as you hit a website, within a couple of clicks, you'd be able to not only find that tracking number, but ask a question with a real human being on the other side of it without really leaving the page or having to open up your email client. So little things like that. We're thinking a lot about just how messaging in general is changing and then how we can make that scale for support teams behind the scenes.
Excellent. And before we kind of, I mean, I know I'm just keeping an eye on time, Nick. I know you're a busy guy, but before I ask you my last kind of couple of questions, I mean, is there anything that within the sort of the Help Scout world or the world of sort of service and experience that you think there is a thing that we've kind of missed out or you'd like to comment on or bring to our attention before I ask you my last two questions?
No, the most important thing to me is not necessarily plugging our products, because again, it's not about the tools, but I would love to plug the blog and the resources. We've talked about some of that stuff today, the salary survey. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out that just has extraordinary content. We pay an outstanding editorial team here at Help Scout to write original content all about building the kind of business you and I have been talking about this afternoon. And so I really feel like people will benefit from that. It's all free. So take a look at it. Visit the blog, helpscout.com/blog. And I'm sure there'd be a lot of benefit there.
Perfect. Now, I think you've just answered my last question just then, but let me ask me my penultimate question and then I'll come back to the last one, if that makes sense, hopefully. Anyway.
Sure.
But anyway, I've been asking for the last year or so, been asking my own little personally selfish research question, because I wrote a book last year called How to Wow. And every time since the publication of the book, I've been asking people for their perspective on what wow service and experience it means to them. And so I'd be really interested to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because when people that don't think about this stuff all the time, like you and I, first think about wow service, they think about friendliness, right? Like somebody that's really nice and friendly. But over the years, I found that it's less about being friendly. I could have the friendliest person on the other side of things, but if they're not able to solve my problem and help me get to an answer quickly, then I get tired of the friendliness really quickly. A wow service experience is more about respecting people's time, showing empathy, being thorough to make sure the customer gets everything they need from the interaction. For me, the best customer experiences I've ever had have more to do with that person respecting my time and giving me a great answer than it does with necessarily just being over the top friendly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. It's 100%. I mean, it is that sort of thing. It's like you mentioned before, it's contextual, right?
Absolutely.
When somebody kind of calls up, it usually means that they've got a problem. And so the first order of the day that you should be, one, polite and respectful, obviously, but then focus on solving their problem.
Absolutely. So it's not just about being nice and chipper or anything like that. It's really about being able to solve that person's problem in a way that makes them walk away with a great experience.
Absolutely. So, Nick, that brings me to my final question that I always ask at the end of these podcasts. But I fear you may have already answered the question, but I'm going to answer it again nevertheless because I just like the way that people react to the question.
Sure, sure.
And the question is this. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Well, there's one other thing I would love to talk about, and it's an organization, a community that we're very active in.
Cool.
It's called Support Driven. It's supportdriven.com.
Uh-huh.
This is a community of more than 2,000 customer service professionals that have all the same values you and I have been talking about today. So it's a big Slack group. That's,
right.
That's kind of the hub of their communication. So if you're a customer service professional and you are become part of this community, you'll be surrounded by people that would love to help you with tactical challenges that you're having, even challenges with the products that you're using. They can help you. This community is absolutely positively unbelievable and so encouraging, so energetic, and so passionate about great customer support. So it's free. This thing is just a really outstanding deal. Supportdriven.com is the website. We are a participant just kind of as a sponsor and
right.
as a resource.
Uh-huh.
We don't own Support Driven. It's founded by another guy named Scott Tren, who's really awesome. So fantastic organization that's doing a lot of good things for people in the support world.
Nick, that's awesome. And I love that. I mean, I love the kind of the plug for a community driven organization, but that's great. I'll make sure I get that all linked up when I get it all edited and get it all kind of written up and published. But just want to say thanks so much for your time and sharing your perspective today. And here's to making contact center agents heroes, because they deserve it.
Cheers. It's been my pleasure.